Casino gambling has made a steady march across the country in recent decades. 39 states now have casinos. Massachusetts opened the door to become the 40th state 2 years ago when lawmakers approved a casino law. But after a string of casino proposals were rejected by local communities, there are obvious second thoughts. WBUR's David Scharfenberg takes a look at what could be a mounting casino revolt.
Saturday morning at a small shopping center in Boston. Brian Gannon, an anti-casino activist, is collecting signatures for a ballot measure.
Hi there, we're trying to keep gaming out of Massachusetts.
The idea, as his big red sign suggests, is to repeal the casino deal. That's the 2011 law that provides for three resort-style casinos in the state and one slot parlor.
Can you sign for me?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Gannon collects hundreds of signatures here. And in the coming days, casino opponents will submit almost 90,000, more than enough to qualify for the ballot. The repeal is a long shot. Attorney General Martha Coakley has found it unconstitutional, a ruling activists are fighting in court. But casino opponents have already demonstrated an ability to beat the odds. In recent weeks, four communities, West Springfield, East Boston, Palmer, and Milford, have voted down billion-dollar proposals, years in the making. Activists like Gannon say the Bay State just does not need casinos.
I think we can do better than this. We're not in some desperate circumstance that we need to bring something like casinos to Massachusetts. I think we're a thriving state. We're a thriving economy.
Father Richard McGowan, a gambling expert at Boston College, says the state's relatively strong economy is playing a role in at least some parts of the state. The casino industry, he says, typically targets low-income communities in need of jobs.
I think as they try to hit more markets where people can say no to them, it's going to be interesting.
Here in Milford, a blue-collar and middle-class town about 45 minutes west of Boston, voters did say no. Casino opponents erupted last week as word of a landslide victory filtered into their headquarters. A bowling alley on the edge of town.
We have been just absolutely amazed at what we can do simply because we're connected with all the people in town.
That's Steve Treadle, co-chair of Casino Free Milford, which raised $24,000 between April and October. Connecticut gambling giant Foxwoods, a prime force behind the casino proposal, spent almost $800,000 in that period.
They come to town, they bring the money. They have the big PR campaign, but they can't go neighbor to neighbor.
It's tempting to see in the casino revolt a return to Massachusetts' Puritan roots. But it's really more prosaic concerns about traffic and crime driving the opposition. A recent survey from the Western New England University Polling Institute found 61% of Massachusetts residents in favor of casino gambling, and just 33% opposed. But a majority, 55%, say they don't want a casino in their own community. Even Governor Deval Patrick, who fought for the casino law, says he would vote against a casino in the tiny Berkshires town where he owns a second home. So is Massachusetts just a land of not-in-my-backyarders? Perhaps. But longtime casino opponents like Scott Harshbarger, a former attorney general, see something more exalted in the string of no votes.
I think what we're seeing now is this remarkable thing called democracy. The people are actually speaking.
That's not the case everywhere. Just 14 of the 24 states with non-Indian casinos allow local referenda, according to the American Gaming Association, an industry group. State Senator Karen Spilka, an Ashland Democrat, helped write the Massachusetts law. She says the local veto provision comes from a long tradition of home rule in this state, a healthy respect for cities and towns that's led to a lot of uncertainty in recent weeks.
I am a little surprised that so many communities have voted no. I don't know what's going to happen. Or we ended up writing a bill that would have three casinos in the state, one in each region. Ultimately, we could end up with one casino for a while, two casinos, no casinos. I don't know.
The voter rebellion is just part of the story. There's also the Massachusetts Gaming Commission, which has proven a tough regulator.
All right, let me
Let me just put this in context. These are just my own
last
words.
Month, the commission raised a number of red flags about Las Vegas Bigfoot Caesars Entertainment vying to run a casino at the Suffolk Downs Horse Track, which is partially in East Boston, partially in the neighboring city of Revere. Among the concerns, a licensing deal with a New York hotel company with alleged ties to Russian mobsters. That focus on associates twice removed from Caesars sent a shudder through the casino industry. Jeff Freeman, president and CEO of the American Gaming Association, says he's got no problem with strong regulation. But it is a problem, he says, when every new casino state applies its own standard.
All businesses struggle if the goalposts are moving. And with gaming, that's something that we consistently confront from state to state to state. Massachusetts may have taken this to new heights.
Stephen Crosby, chair of the state's Gaming Commission, says he understands the industry's frustration.
But when the final analysis comes, my job and our job is to implement this law as we think the legislature and the governor and the people of Massachusetts want it implemented. Period.
Nowhere has the 1-2 punch of tough regulation and skeptical voters landed harder than at Suffolk Downs, the 78-year-old horse track. It's a place rich with history. On the lower level, just behind the grandstand, a series of pink, yellow, and orange banners proclaim the winners of the Mass Cap, the track's signature race. One pays homage to the legendary Seabiscuit. Chip Tuttle, COO of the track.
Suffolk Downs is one of New England's sporting landmarks. And you know, when it was built in 1935, you know, it was truly a grand palace of racing on the East Coast.
The palace has fallen on hard times. No profits in 8 years. The big purse Mass Cap, gone. Tuttle says winning approval for a casino is key to the track's future. That's proven harder than expected. Suffolk Downs had to sever ties with Caesars when state investigators raised concerns about the company. And East Boston voters delivered a stunning blow when they rejected the casino. Voters in Revere, home to one-third of the Suffolk Downs property, approved the project. So the track, in an act of political and logistical jujitsu, is trying to push the casino fully onto the Revere part of the property. For casino opponents like Gannon, collecting signatures at the shopping center, the revised proposal is an affront to the democratic process at the heart of the casino revolt.
First thing that comes to mind is like a Simpsons episode where they found oil under Springfield and Mr. Burns put in the slant drilling company to suck the oil out from under the town to skirt around the law. Like, this is the most absurd idea I've ever heard of. They're just going to move it over the line.
Suffolk Downs officials, needless to say, have a very different view. And Massachusetts will probably end up with three casinos, even if it takes quite a bit longer than expected. Still, most observers can agree that the ups and downs of the Massachusetts casino process have taken on a certain cartoonish quality. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Scharfenberg.